At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Thursday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern Time, a Thursday morning, to look back on a jam-packed Wednesday evening in hoops, both in college basketball and an 11-game slate around the association. We will also continue to get you set, get you ready, get you prepared for maybe the best weekend of football each and every season, the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. A preview continuously of all four matchups from each and every angle you need. The X's and O, the key matchups, and of course, the players that will dictate the outcome come our doubleheader on Saturday and our two games on Sunday. Up until 11 a.m. Eastern, a ton DRS to get to here on this Thursday on the Early Line.
Should be a big show here on a Thursday, no doubt about it. You know, I like to be the weatherman of the Sports Grid Network. We do have one dome game. Obviously, it's going to be a clean track. The other three games, bone-chilling cold temperatures. May the best man and running back possibly win? Yeah, we'll find out.
Forecaster, doctor, what doesn't this guy do? That is Donnie Wrightside. Now we start by looking back on what we saw from a Wednesday evening, mainly in basketball. Huge top 10 tilt inside Hilton Coliseum between the number 2 Iowa State Cyclones and number 9 Kansas Jayhawks. DRS being second in the AP top 25 was a first for Iowa State, the highest ever ranking in program history in Ames. And they made good on that number next to their name and as a 5.5-point home favorite. Routing KU, especially in the second half, 74-57. The Cyclones look like one of the best teams in the country behind a huge night from Curtis Jones, often one of the best six men in all of college basketball, in the starting five last night for Iowa State and TJ Otzelberger. He posted a game-best 25 points.
Yeah, my guy Zeke Mayo played 36 minutes, dropped 17 points, but nobody wanted to help him out for the Kansas Jayhawks, including guys like Hunter Dickinson, 3 of 10 from the floor, only 6 points scored, some Hilton magic last night. And the one thing we love, bring your defense with you, which is exactly what Iowa State did. 40 points for KU in the first half, only 27 in the second half. Number 2 in the country, 5-0 in the conference. That's a good start to your basketball season.
5-0 in the Big 12. Kansas, after an 8-loss season in conference play a year ago, their worst since the late 80s, has now dropped 2 of its first 5 games. Its opener, 1-3 straight did Kansas, and losing last night on the road, not keeping the game particularly close. Tennessee was the number 1 team in the land up until this past week when they got beat by Florida big, nearly 30 points. How have the Vols responded? Well, this week, in a top 25 tilt against Georgia, ranked in the AP poll for the first time since 2011. The Vols use a huge second half to dispatch the Bulldogs yesterday in Knoxville. 49-30. That was the score in the second half, 74-56. The final score last night, Tennessee wins and covers as an 11.5-point home favorite.
And how about this, turning over the Georgia Bulldogs 19 times in that game, which you see the bottom line score there. Only 53 shot attempts here for the Georgia Bulldogs. How about 66 shot attempts for the Volunteers? Extra looks at the basket, extra points, playing great defense. That's the calling card for the Tennessee Volunteers in a whitewashing of the Georgia Bulldogs last night.
A big win for the Vols indeed. Always a top 25 tilt in the SEC. Now to the NBA. 11-game slate around the association last night. The Golden State Warriors desperately in need of a win. Go to Minnesota as a road underdog and win outright behind a 30-plus point performance from Steph Curry, including a critical three-pointer in the final minute of regulation. The Dubs were up by double digits early in the fourth and final quarter, had to hold off a charge from the T-Wolves, but do win outright 116-115 in Minneapolis.
Yeah, about that. Dante DiVincenzo and Anthony Edwards both had 28 points in this game, but it wasn't enough. Always we can set the clock back to Steph Curry's 37 minutes and 31 points, but he got some help. Andrew Wiggins, 24. And also, it feels like sometimes this team goes as far as Buddy Hield will take them off of the bench. Last night, he played 29 minutes, chipped in with 18 points here. That's a pretty good road start, but pretty good road win, I should say. Look at the Warriors this year. 20-20 on the season, 10-10 on the road. Pretty symmetrical there.
A 12-3 start for Golden State, not playing good ball entering last night. The Warriors needed that win to get back to 500. They do just that. Again, outright as a 7-point road underdog. Elsewhere in Philadelphia, we thought maybe Joel Embiid would play and the 76ers would be at full strength. Nope. No JoJo, just Tyrese Maxey and Paul George, but no Karl Anthony Towns on the other side for the New York Knicks. So the line stays around 6. A highly competitive game in Philadelphia goes to overtime. The Knicks do win by 6, 125-119 in that extra session.
Yeah, Maxey shot 32 times because why? Who else is going to be taking shots for them? Paul George actually had a decent game with 26 points. But if you were backing the Sixers, let's just say you got the 6. Okay, you'll take the push. But when you really read into that game late in the game, hey, Maxey, maybe you didn't have to drive to the rim and lay it in to get that game to actual overtime because you lost anyway and you lost yourself the actual cover. But the Knicks were supposed to win that basketball game. The Sixers just floundering around until they get all of their players back. It's hard to have camaraderie on the court if nobody's ever on the court together to get that camaraderie.
Philly is now 9 games below 500, 15-24. Game number 42 for the Knickerbockers last night. They're already past the midway point of this NBA season in their campaign. The Raptors have played some good basketball as of late, pulling off a couple of upsets as they do last night at home. DRS up in the 6 against the reigning NBA champs and those current title favorites, the Boston Celtics. Toronto winning outright 110-97 as a double-digit home dog.
And by the way, all 5 starters in double digits yesterday for the Toronto Raptors. And again, we like to say it is hard to win on the road, even though the Raptors just got their 10th win of the season. Nobody's panicking for the Boston Celtics at this point. And it's amazing that everybody in the starting lineup wasn't all that efficient outside of Kristaps Porzingis. Tatum, 5 of 15. Brown, 4 of 16. That's just not good enough from that starting lineup. But they'll be just fine. Don't worry about them.
2 straight wins for Toronto at home as a dog. 4.5-point dog against Golden State just a few nights ago. 13.5, the closing number in favor of the Celtics last night in Toronto. Elsewhere around the wide world of sports, NFL draft news for the 2025 quarterback class. Quinn Ewers has declared for the 2025 NFL draft. Entering this season, thought to be a top 5, top 10 pick in the opening round. We'll see his fate now, but Quinn Ewers heads to the National Football League and the next level. Arch Manning's time awaits in Austin.
Most times you hear kids say, like, you know what? I got to go pro. Got to feed the family. Got to take care of everybody around me. And this is the only time that you're probably going to see a guy going pro and actually going to make less money being a pro than he would have in college. So good luck to the young guy in the pros. But I thought he should have stuck around one more year, transferred out $5 to $6 million, then go pro. I don't know whose advisors are doing there, BSS. I don't know.
Transfer somewhere else. It was currently not his time anymore with the Longhorns. Deontay Johnson, who he shared, was cut by the Texans yesterday, picked up once again by his former team, the Ravens, and Baltimore might be able to get a draft pick out of it, DRS.
Yeah, who knows what the draft pick's going to be, but I also heard the opposite side of it. Like, oh, well, they don't want anybody else to pick him up. Well, if he was so damn bad and everybody let him go, shouldn't you want another team to pick him up and sabotage their locker room? That would have been even better.
It would make some sense. We'll continue to recap Wednesday night next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You might just be paying attention to the NBA or maybe college basketball for the first few times this year, but certainly in the association. We'll get to conference action in college hoops in just a moment. We are nearing the halfway point of this NBA season. It's not the early going anymore. Most teams around the association have played 40 games, some already at the halfway point. The New York Knicks past that midway point of an 82-game regular season. So last night, DRS, in Minneapolis between the Timberwolves and the Warriors, it was game 41 for Minnesota. Again, the direct midway point of the year, game 40 for Golden State. And it's already been the ebbs and flows of a long NBA campaign for the Dubs. A great start to the year, 12-3, entering last night, 7-17 since, desperately in need of a win to crawl back to 500, and that's what the Warriors get outright on the road as a 7-point dog in the Twin Cities. 116-115, a couple of clutch shots from Steph Curry down the home stretch to cap off a 31-point night. It was Golden State ahead by as many as 12 early in the fourth and final stanza. The Timberwolves rallied back to make it a game, but ultimately the Warriors, huge road win and one that was needed in Golden State.
Oh, it certainly was. But also look at the Minnesota Timberwolves on the season now. 21-19 overall, 10-9 at home. That trade from Karl Anthony Towns picking up Julius Randle really hasn't worked out much in their favor. And then you could take a look at the Golden State Warriors just trying to hold on to that dynasty-esque sort of team, players. Can we get one last season out of it? And it's providing a 500 season, even with the victory now at 20-20 overall. But you still got those nights where you can lean on with Steph Curry. And I understand once you get to the playoffs, it really benefits the veteran team. Younger teams probably benefit more in the regular season, fresher legs. You can play on back-to-backs. You can play two games in three nights, no big deal. But in the playoffs, particularly round number one, you'll play on a Monday, Ben. You might not play till Friday of that next week, having four off days to get yourself ready. But the problem is you have to get to the playoffs healthy in order to participate. Those are the questions that we bring up with teams like the Lakers and also the Golden State Warriors. If you have to expend so much energy and play Steph Curry close to 40 minutes every single night, what is he going to have left in the tank once you actually get to the playoffs? That's the tough part, but you'll take the victories when you can get them. That's a solid road victory for the Warriors just to even get them back to 500.
Yeah. The Dubs have been a good dog this year, 10-7 now against the spread. The Timberwolves have been an atrocious favorite. DRS, a team that reached the Western Conference Finals a year ago, that entering that series against the Dallas Mavericks was favored to advance to the NBA Finals. And that was still the outlook despite the franchise changes this offseason in trading away Karl Anthony Towns entering 2024-25. Minnesota has now been booked as a favorite in 35 of 40 games, or 34 of 40 games this season. So excuse me, not quite at the midway point for Minnesota, but regardless, still nearing that midway point. DRS, they are now 12-22 against the spread in terms of when they are booked as a favorite. They are not even making good on those numbers and now flirting with 500, as is Golden State. So a disappointing year, I would say, so far for the Timberwolves. Elsewhere around the NBA, a highly disappointing season for the Philadelphia 76ers because of availability. We thought maybe Joel Embiid would play last night. Nope, still dealing with a foot injury, but after resting everybody the night previous, at least Tyrese Maxey and Paul George were out there to make it a competitive game against the Knicks, who did not have Karl Anthony Towns. Game goes to overtime. New York wins by six, 125-119, and the Knicks were booked as a 6-point road favorite. 219 and a hook, skies over in the extra session. The stars that were out there last night did perform. Big night out of Tyrese Maxey and Paul George. 38 points on the other side for Jalen Brunson. New York wins. Cool. They were expected to. The story is Philadelphia. 15 and 24 now this season.
Yeah, and unless you get a healthy Joel Embiid back on the court, they're not going to do much for the rest of the season as is. So you might as well just rest them and say, we might be able to hang on and get into a playing game. Because, again, if you're not healthy in the playoffs, it doesn't make any sense anyway. But let's focus on the New York Knicks, too. Tom Thibodeau, who I like as a head coach, they're 27-15. They have a ton of talent. But I don't think he understands, like, the NBA season length. It's 82 games plus the playoffs, but he's notorious for playing his starters overdrive the entire season. They only played 8 players, Ben, in an overtime effort, which included Josh Hart logging 49 minutes in this game. Jalen Brunson, always banged up here, 45 minutes here. OG Anunoby, 45 minutes, who missed most of the playoff run last year with injuries as well. I don't understand this. Look, winning is the utmost importance, and I get that. But it seems like every single night, his starters log way more minutes than anybody else, and that's a detriment once you get to the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Tibbs has always done, though, in terms of his philosophy. So it's not really a surprise. The New York Knicks passed the midway point of their NBA season now, 27-15 straight up, a favorite in 37 of 42 games. Now 18-17-2 against those closing numbers. Other results from Wednesday in the association. Again, 11 games last night in the NBA. The Raptors pull off a stunner, winning outright as a 13.5-point dog at home in Toronto against the Boston Celtics. The Bucks are playing good ball. They easily dispatch of the Magic as a 6-point home favorite on the second leg of a back-to-back. How about that score for the Clippers and the Nets last night in Los Angeles in front of the wall? 126-67. The Brooklyn Nets, an NBA franchise, I am told, scoring 67 points in an NBA game. It's a college basketball score in the Big Ten.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets feel like they're resetting their roster every few weeks here, not every few years. Like, there's no continuity. Everybody's always on the trade block here, and those are the type of performances that you get. And also, shout out my guy Norm Powell, another 3 triples there for the Clippers, knocking down numbers left and right for the boys. By the way, Ben, let me say this. The NBA, like, make me commissioner. Like, we can do that segment again. I don't know if it's just me. I barely pay attention to the NBA right now because the football season has been so good. If the NBA season started the Monday after the Super Bowl and runs through Labor Day, ratings bonanza. Why aren't we doing this? Like, honestly, why aren't we doing this?
It would be fun to have some action in the summer. That's when the WNBA takes over all of our basketball needs. Commissioner Rightside, Dr. Forecaster Commissioner. Now we go to college basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, a huge Wednesday night slate, as they often are at this time of year, in conference action in college basketball. If the SEC had Tuesday night and a ton of top 15 and top 10 tilts, a little bit more focus on the Big 12 on a Wednesday evening. A top 10 tilt inside Hilton Coliseum, where there is magic in Ames, Iowa, for number 2 Iowa State hosting 9th ranked Kansas. Being number 2, Donnie, is already historic enough for the Cyclones. The highest ever program rating in the history of Iowa State men's basketball. But can you back up the billing in the AP poll against a top 10 foe and often the standard bearer in Big 12 men's basketball? The Cyclones did that last night in a large way. 17-point home win inside Hilton Coliseum, 74-57. Iowa State covers as a 5.5-point favorite. We'll talk the total in just a moment, but it stays under 143.5. TJ Otzelberger, head coach for Iowa State, became the head man there in Ames back in 2021. In the 4 years under his guidance, Iowa State 51-6 straight up as a home favorite, now 33-24 against the number.
I'll tell you how you win a basketball game. Make 18 free throw attempts. I'll tell you how to lose a basketball game. Make 4 free throw attempts. That's what Kansas had here. Get to the rim, get to the free throw line. You usually put yourself in the bonus, the double bonus, and it gives you free chances to get points with the clock stopped. Also, how about 31% from 3-point range for the Kansas Jayhawks on the road? Just not good enough. But as we know, Iowa State's always been a phenomenal home team, and that continues this season as they sit 15-1 and 5-0 in their own conference. I like to see these ways and these dominant performances, because to me, there's ways you can win basketball games, right, Ben? Hey, 85-80, 84-81, great stuff. But when you hold a team like the Kansas Jayhawks below 60 points, that means you can win in any environment, anytime, against any style type team. That was a great win here for Iowa State, out-rebounding, out-turning over the Jayhawks. That's how you get it done. A little bit of Hilton magic, great stuff. And by the way, that was a Jayhawks team that came in winners of 5 of 6 games. Not say, really struggling on the season. No, that's a big-time win there for Iowa State, really putting their foot down as one of the best teams in the Big 12.
The Jayhawks dropped their opening game in the Big 12, a stunner against West Virginia. Had 1-3 in a row entering last night, covering in all three. KU now already its second loss in Big 12 play. DRS last year, uncharacteristically for Bill Self's Hawks, they lost 8 games in the Big 12, the most they had seen in a conference season since the late 80s, 1988-89, the last time Kansas missed out on the NCAA tournament. That is insane to say. Kansas now has played 16 games this year, 12-4 straight up. They have gone under in 15 of 16. It is the highest under percentage of 364 D1 men's basketball programs. So just know that incredibly strong trend when you see Kansas playing in a basketball game. DRS, I said Tuesday night was the night for the SEC. It really always is, though, with so many top 25 teams, including Georgia, ranked in the AP top 25 for the first time in more than a decade. So top 25 tilt last night at Tennessee. Close game in the opening half. Georgia had a 1-point lead entering the break. The Volunteers explode in the second, 49-30 to win 74-56. Tennessee covers as an 11.5-point home favorite. Total of 134 and a hook, still stays barely under.
And we talked about at the opening of the show, like, imagine this, you're playing a basketball game, Ben, and 19 times you have the basketball, you don't even get a shot attempt off because you turned it over, which usually means quick outlet points for the other team or just stymieing your own momentum. And also shooting 28% from 3-point range on the road, 6 of 21, that's not going to get it done. Nice victory for Tennessee. This is the Tennessee we expected, right? Not getting into shootouts, let's just say, with the Gators, but absolutely playing dominant defense against top 25 opponents. That's what they do. Stick to your calling card, play great defense, be efficient on offense, win some basketball games.
Tennessee tied for the 4th best price to win the title, 15-1, alongside Houston. Double-digit victory for the Cougs last night in Big 12 action. Iowa State, 3rd best number at 8-1. Michigan State, still unbeaten in the Big 12. Tested by Penn State inside the Breslin Center. The Nittany Lions do cover as an 11.5-point road underdog. Purdue was trailing by 8 at the break out in Seattle. They come all the way back in the second to hammer the Huskies. And DRS, how about UNLV pulling off the home upset over Utah State, handing the Aggies just their second loss of the year?
Exactly. How about that? Coming into that game, Utah State 6-0 in conference play, getting downed at UNLV. Good basketball conference, people. Pay attention.
The Mountain West is sensational. Plenty more on the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to go around the National Football League, the news and notes, and the biggest headlines that you need entering the divisional round, or maybe for your favorite franchise entering the early portion of the offseason. DRS, in a full week of practice, when you play on Sunday, that practice week truly begins on Wednesday. So availability reports, who was out there, how much work did they put in, important for a Sunday matchup. In certainly the marquee matchup of the division around Sunday evening in Western New York between the Bills and the Ravens. Zay Flowers injured late in the year for Baltimore, the top target for Lamar Jackson this year, who did not play during wild card weekend in the blowout victory over the Steelers, did not practice yesterday on a Wednesday to get ready for the matchup in Orchard Park. Dr. Donnie, time to diagnose it. Will we see Zay Flowers this weekend?
Don't think so, the way it turns out. And also understand this, playing in bone-chilling cold temperatures on hard AstroTurf. Come on now, that doesn't sound like that's going to be very good for your knee. And also understand this, I don't mind this. And it's so crazy that I'm going to talk about this, and I've been saying it all week, a little bit like tongue-in-cheek, but we don't need wide receivers for the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar will make pass attempts happen. You got two good tight ends here. Throw a couple meaningless guys out there, but stick to the ground game. That's what's going to get you home and win you a championship if you do that. Even the joke's like, hey, just sit Rashad Bateman, sit Nelson Agholor, don't even have any wideouts, and just run three tight end sets with three running backs and have at it out there. This technically is a big injury, but for me, the way I love to see the Ravens play football, Ben, it's not that big of a deal for me because Lamar Jackson is good enough by himself to win football games, and handing the football off to Derrick Henry, they're good enough to win games. So for me, I don't actually mind it. You're going to need him, but right now, I love the groove we have with the Ravens. I don't think this is a big miss here if he's not available to play this weekend.
They ran the football incredibly well against the Steelers, nearly 300 yards on the ground. Huge day for Derrick Henry. They ran the ball incredibly well in the first matchup. Yes, way back in week four at the end of September against Buffalo, where the King had nearly 200 yards, and Lamar Jackson more than 50 on the ground as well. We can still expect that to be the staple of the offensive scheme for the flock on Sunday evening against Buffalo. The next headline might allow you to believe that, hey, with the injury to Zay Flowers, might they be adding some familiar faces in Deontay Johnson, who goes back to the Ravens, where he was earlier this season as they claim him off waivers. But that's not necessarily the case. Deontay Johnson cannot join the Ravens officially until February 10th, the day after Super Bowl Sunday. But Baltimore picks him up because depending on where he signs this offseason as an unrestricted free agent, they could get a compensatory pick, which is always helpful to an organization.
Yeah, Daniel Jones with the Minnesota Vikings. He had no intention of playing that guy, but if he signs somewhere else where it goes into the formula, it makes some sense. Also, if you're not understanding what the Ravens are doing, just think about your fantasy football team. Late in the season, you're making a run to win your fantasy league. The other opposing team is short on wide receivers. So you pick up Deontay Johnson to block them from getting him an active wide receiver, therefore could be helping their team. I don't like Deontay Johnson all that much, but he does have some talent. And if somebody in a pinch needed an extra wide receiver that, oh yeah, understood the Baltimore Ravens offense and you brought him in and he told you all those secrets that you could use as well and what some of those calls might be, it could help you. It's a good move by the Ravens, just blocking everybody else. And also, they don't even like Deontay Johnson, but how about this? Why would he show up or why would he agree to this? He's going to get paid. He's on the roster. Every game that they play, he is going to get a paycheck. If they win the Super Bowl, he's going to get a ring from the Ravens despite them hating him, him hating the Ravens, and him not even being around the team. How about that?
I don't think Deontay Johnson can really hate anybody. When you've been on four teams in 10 months, you kind of have to suck it up and try to earn back some favor in the NFL. But we shall see. Of course, Mike McCarthy and the Dallas Cowboys are no more. And Micah Parsons, who hosts his own podcast known as The Edge, was talking about Dallas's decision to part ways with McCarthy earlier this week and said, quote, "I'm obviously very sad because of the relationships we had with Coach McCarthy and everything he's done for our program." Went on to further call it devastating. Tough blow for Micah Parsons, and it did seem, DRS, that somehow, some way, Mike McCarthy did have the favor of his locker room despite not being able to reach a new deal with Jerry Jones.
Yeah, and also, it's the Dallas Cowboys way. Like, hey, got a head coach, doesn't win anything, love to have him around here. But also, if you have a country club-type atmosphere, employees don't like that. Imagine you work for a company that's losing money, but you still get a paycheck, and your boss is real friendly to you. He gets fired. The next guy that comes and goes, we're really changing this up, and we're going to work hard. Players slash employees don't actually like that. So make a part like, man, I had the perfect life. I'm about to ring the cash register here and have a country club-type scenario down there. Now I might get a coach in here who might be able to put us to the test and have extra OTAs and work us a little bit longer. Yeah, I wouldn't like that either. So, Micah Parsons, worry about winning as opposed to being devastated that a bum head coach actually got fired from your bum team.
I like that reaction, DR. That's a lot to say right there. Mike McCarthy, a winning record during his 18 seasons, nearly two decades as an NFL head coach. And we know Micah Parsons is a talent. Next big offseason storyline beyond the coaching search in Big D, having to pay Micah Parsons a very large sum for that contract extension, we would anticipate. But knowing Jerry Jones, that's probably not going to happen until the ending portion of August. Speaking of that next head coach in Dallas, Donnie, the Cowboys intend to interview Robert Saleh, former head coach, of course, of the New York Jets, former San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator, former Bills defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier as well. Donnie, we've talked about Deion Sanders. We've talked about other potential head coaching candidates for the Cowboys. When all is said and done, probably not for at least another month after the Super Bowl, so Jerry Jones can bring all the headlines to the star, who do you think that next head coach of the Cowboys actually is?
It's not going to be Leslie Frazier, I'll tell you that. And I don't think it's going to be Robert Saleh, even though I do agree. Like, Robert Saleh is going to get another head coaching job in this league. He's well respected around the league, runs really good defenses here, and got a raw job from the Jets. So he is going to get a coaching job, and maybe he does land in Dallas. But usually for the Dallas Cowboys, man, sometimes it's about sizzle. Like, they love to bring in the superstar players. They don't really like the superstar coaches per se because Jerry wants to run the team. But my goodness, if it's Deion Sanders that comes to town now as, let's just say, a betting favorite at this point, to sink his teeth in that Cowboys team, that would just be fun for everybody, because America's team, not because you love them, because there's a lot of hate out there, which means, like, yes, everybody in America has a vested interest in either rooting for or against the Dallas Cowboys. You throw Deion into that fire, he brings that bravado for the Cowboys. I'm into that. I would love to see that happen. So I'm going to put my money on Deion Sanders to the Dallas Cowboys, because why not? We need it. We need that in our lives, Ben.
Yeah, I doubt that happens, because there are two big egos and auras in the same room, and I don't think either guy would like to step out of the spotlight. Not even Deion Sanders so much, but Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is often known as a loyalist. He's only had six head coaches in the last 28 years or so since Barry Switzer won the last Super Bowl championship for this Dallas team in 1995. Despite a overwhelming lack of success in the NFL postseason. Donnie, that's not because I think he buys into his guys, but because he doesn't want to be outshined in Dallas. So I think he will get a guy that is comfortable having a very involved owner. I think it might be somebody that knows the Cowboys organization well. I do honestly believe it probably ends up being Kellen Moore as Dallas' next head coach.
Come on. Yeah, we can't have that, man. We can't have nice things in Philadelphia. I was hoping Shane Steichen got fired in Indy so he could replace Kellen Moore and the vibes would still be very high. But yes, we don't need Kellen Moore leaving so we can go with some other untrusted player. Look, again, leave the Eagles alone, man. Leave it. But I understand that. You want to hurt someone. Yeah, Doug P will be perfect down in Dallas. Calm the waters, win nothing. You know, who cares? You just run away. But I'm telling you, if you do get Deion down there on that sideline, that's a match made in heaven, man. That is a match made in heaven that we need. We're all eyes will be back on Dallas. Jerry will increase his bottom line, no doubt about it. And away we go is now you can officially put Dallas back on the pantheon of one of the most hated teams. Because right now they don't win anything. And who cares about Mike McCarthy? Bring Deion in there. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's talk about the Detroit Lions next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's an interesting time for the one seeds around the NFL. They're about to embark on their playoff journeys, and in the Motor City, for the Lions, they are hoping to make history, to be the first ever Lions team to play in a Super Bowl. But their two coordinators are the hottest names on the job market right now around the National Football League coaching carousel. In the six head coaching vacancies, we expect two to be filled by defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn and offensive coordinator Ben Johnson. Where exactly, that remains to be seen. But we've got coordinators, Donnie, getting ready for game plans, an important division around playoff matchups, and a deep postseason run, hopefully, that ends in New Orleans playing for a Super Bowl, but also interviewing last week for head coaching vacancies in their future around the NFL. We'll start defensively with the DC in Detroit, Aaron Glenn.
Well, I don't know if that's truly accurate. I can just go off the top of my head with Bill Carr, Mike Tomlin, Bill Belichick, that's won a ton of Super Bowls as a defensive coach. And here's the one thing that I would say about myself. I'm a coach. I just happen to be on defense. I understand the offense just as well as a number of people. So if you want to hire me, you're going to hire a coach. You're not going to hire a defensive coach. I'm going to talk to the offense just as much as I'm going to talk to the defense.
So you didn't hear that question, but it was about the idea that as of the recent trend, offensive coaches, those on that side of the football, were the more successful ones, DRS, in terms of getting to the highest peak in the National Football League. That was Aaron Glenn's answer. What did you make of it?
Yeah, he's right about one thing, and I understand what he's trying to say, because there are coaches that are defensive-minded that run sort of a CEO-type program. Bill Belichick did it for a long time in New England and very successful. You take a look at other coaches like a Mike Tomlin, CEO-type guy, like I'm talking to the offense, I'm talking to the defense, I'm going in both meetings, and that makes sense. But here's the issue that you have with that. As a defensive coordinator, you are behind the eight ball, because there are a lot of really solid defensive coordinators. There's not a really lot of really solid offensive coordinators. And the reason being is if you hire the offensive guy as a head coach, he's not leaving your organization to be a head coach somewhere else. They don't do that. You're the head coach of that program. So it's a lot easier to say, okay, I'll keep finding myself really good defensive coordinators. It's hard to actually have that guy, which is why a guy like Ben Johnson, worth his weight in gold, an offensive coordinator can pick any job he wants. And if you're Detroit last year, you lucked out that he wanted to come back. You paid him a little bit more money, but sooner than later, he's leaving. But I understand, like, Aaron Glenn is probably going to be a really good head coach, but he is behind the eight ball when you go in interviews versus guys like Liam Cohen, who'd be like, look, if I come here and turn your offense around, I'm going to be here for 15 years. Whereas a good offensive coordinator comes in, like a Canales or even a Liam Cohen that we just talked about, you have one good season, you're out and you're the head coach the next year. If you're already the head coach, you're going to stay and implement that all the way through here. So I agree. He is probably going to be a head coach, but he's right about what he's saying. Don't just look at me as a defensive coordinator. Like, I know offense. I know how to be a head coach. I know how to command men. I can run an organization. Don't just pigeonhole me and say, I'm going to call the defense and hopefully we get an offensive guy in here. But it's just the perception that turns into reality.
Offense seems to be emerging, transformative. Yeah. Defense is more stable. What do you want, the exciting or the consistent? I do believe Aaron Glenn is going to make a very good head coach around the NFL. When we think of the most successful head coaches currently, the younger wave, guys like Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur, they're more on the offensive side of the football. Even the most successful head coach right now in the NFL in Andy Reid, he's an offensive mind who is paired very well with a defensive coordinator in Steve Spagnuolo. Regardless, though, of what side you got your start in the NFL and where you are when you become a head coach, it's important to build a great staff all around you. I think every head coach and head coaching candidate understands that. So you mentioned Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator in the Motor City. Here's Ben Johnson on getting ready for the playoffs, but also with all of his head coaching interviews.
I'm gonna say focused on the main thing right here, and that's gonna be the Washington Commanders right here now. That's what we're about. I told the head coach when we came in, he asked me about how it went this weekend. It went great, and that's the end of it. The focus right here now for the players, for the coaching staff, for everybody in this building is about this game this week.
Now, Donnie and I don't live in Detroit, so maybe we're not paying attention to all the Lions press conferences that we see. I don't really know if I've heard Ben Johnson speak before. And I understand that might be on me. Sounded pretty good up there, DRS.
Yeah, and also, now that you have the divisional rounds and into the NFL championship rounds, all the coordinators get to speak on a national level and get to take calls from both the home audience, per se, and also the beat writers from the away city. So it is good to hear them. But also understand this. This is very tough. You're talking about guys that are waiting around to get their dream jobs but still have to balance, yes, I'm still here in Detroit. And of course, they're going to spend a lot of time and understand the task at hand is to win a Super Bowl. But put anybody else in any other life, Bennett, any walk of life where you work at this point, where you are at a job but interviewing at the same time for another job, which would be your dream job, the effort that you're putting in is probably going to be a little bit less just because your mind is going to be drifting off like, boy, if I get this head coaching job in Chicago, Caleb Williams, I want to break down tape on this guy, but I can't because I got to get ready for the Commanders. They're professionals. They'll get the job done, but I always wonder why the NFL actually set this up. Like, imagine any other business, like the NBA or the NHL, where your assistant coaches are interviewing while you're trying to win a championship. championship. It's almost like you need a moratorium that, yes, once we get to the playoffs, no interviews, nobody gets hired, and they treat it like free agency where you can't actually pick up the phone and make those phone calls to try to sway a guy one way or another. It's a horrible system that the NFL does, and it really penalizes very good coaches and very good organizations because they're trying to win a Super Bowl, but having their key components worried about getting jobs elsewhere at the same time doesn't make sense.
There were a lot of teams watching game 272, that regular season finale in Detroit, rooting for the Lions, invested in Detroit's success to clinch the one seed. Why? Because it gave them a week to interview guys like Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn that now cannot continue to interview until Detroit's season comes to a close. And the odds makers right now listing the Lions as the Super Bowl favorites, and those in Detroit are hoping that's not until the middle of February. Here are the six head coaching vacancies around the National Football League. We had 7-4 this offseason. The Patriots have already tabbed their successor, of course. That is Mike Vrabel. Also kind of the idiot nature of Jerry Jones. He waited a week to get rid of Mike McCarthy so he could not interview Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson until the end of Detroit's season. We'll talk more about the openings and the future of the quarterback position in the NFL. Looking at you, Quinn Ewers, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The very interesting thing about the two hottest names of the coaching market that we just heard from, the two coordinators in Detroit, Ben Johnson on the offensive side, Aaron Glenn on the defensive side of the football, the Lions are the NFC Championship favorites. The Lions are the Super Bowl favorites. If Detroit gets there, you would think DRS, two of the best names that could become a potential head coach next season, we might have to wait a while until a couple of the vacancies around the NFL are filled. Again, here are the six head coaching vacancies currently in the National Football League. The Bears, Cowboys, Jags, Jets, Raiders, and Saints. Donnie, I'm going to ask you a tough question here. Which of these jobs gets filled first?
If we're going all the way through, oh, man.
Yeah.
Could we say maybe, I guess if it's from an NFL to NFL coach, right, you're going to have to wait. So dare I say it would be the Cowboys and Deion Sanders because he's a college coach.
Oh.
And I guess you can hire him at any time, right? So how about that? I'll go Cowboys. Yeah.
It's interesting, right? Because I mentioned Kellen Moore, maybe the favorite in my mind to be the Cowboys' next head coach. That probably not going to happen for at least a week or so with where the Eagles' outlook is currently in the NFC playoff picture. Could it be one of the other coordinators, Liam Cohen? Now his Bucks bounced from the postseason. Bobby Slowick, he would still have to wait until Houston's year comes to an end. There's a lot of names that are currently coordinators around the NFL that either just rounded out their playoff run and are now starting to interview or currently still coordinating teams that are playing in the postseason. And you would think, Donnie, that guys like Ben Johnson, who could be reportedly in the running for a couple of jobs, the Raiders, the Bears, that even if he doesn't get one of those two jobs as the head man of that franchise, they're waiting to see how those final interviews play out with Ben Johnson before they might make another decision. A lot still remains, of course, in terms of those head coaching vacancies. A lot will remain this year in the quarterback draft class of 2025. What seemed to be a plentiful class entering both the college football and NFL seasons now really has only dwindled to two guys that could be top 10 or maybe even first round picks, even with the addition of a very large name yesterday. Quinn Ewers officially declaring for the 2025 NFL draft, leaving Texas, heading to the next level. Donnie, when you saw this news yesterday, what was your reaction for Ewers heading to the National Football League?
No, I wasn't shocked. I wasn't surprised. And it certainly didn't hit the airwaves like, oh, my goodness, I got to go live on the air, break in, because I got to talk about Quinn Ewers turning pro at this point. But for me, as you heard me say, I think it's a mistake. I don't think it's a mistake that I don't think the kid can play good football. But it's all about being a professional and making money. You're going to make more money and still be in college with a chance to actually improve your draft stock. Now, are there people out there saying that you can only hurt your draft stock if you leave Texas and go to Northwestern and make double the money that you're currently making now? But that money is always going to be there as a pro, and it's not as if he's eschewing, Ben, being a top 10 pick. Like, hey, man, remember Matt Leiner was like, I'm going to go back to USC, man. I like to go to dance class and party and drink beers. It's like, well, dude, you're going to be a top 10 pick if you come out right now. Don't hurt your career. And for a career long here, probably wasn't the best move for Matt Leiner to go back to school and go back to USC. Should have just went to the pros. But for Quinn Ewers, with how much money these college kids can make, and for what we were hearing, which was actually there on the open market, I would have went to another college team, made that money, then went pro. Because if it turns out you didn't want to go pro, he's probably would have banked $10 plus million dollars just being a college quarterback, and away you go into another career at that point.
Yeah, completely agree, DRS, especially if you are not a first-round draft pick that has that guaranteed salary. We learned that Carson Beck making nearly $4 million next season at Miami, that $4 million one-year deal, better than anything you can see as a day two, even early second-round draft pick if you are not selected in that first round this upcoming April in the 2025 NFL draft. I don't believe Quinn Ewers will be a first-round pick. Maybe he has heard different in his draft discussions and in those NFL draft circles. He played 3 years at his home state team in Texas. Did get his college start, of course, at Ohio State. But 36 games overall for UT led them to two consecutive college football playoff appearances, a Big 12 championship in their final year in that league, an SEC championship appearance in Texas's first year in the Southeastern Conference. DRS, again, I still really think there's only two quarterbacks that are going to go at least in the top 10. Could there be a guy like a Ewers or maybe a Jalen Milrow to find his way late into the opening round? Potentially, but to me it seems right now it's Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders as the two guys that might go one and two. The Titans hold the first overall pick. The Browns have selection number two. Our number two up next, live right here on the Early Line.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.